Now, Dan Mandis, live and local on News Radio 850 KOA.
106, my name is Dan Mandis. Thank you very much for being here. So I've got the one hour Dan Mandis Hour of Power. We've got the CU Buffs coming up. They're playing a USC today, so you can catch all the action right here on News Radio 850 KOA. So if there's one thing that I think we can all agree on, what we have in common with perhaps our parents before us and even their parents before them, is the concept of bullying. And I know that when I was a kid, quite frankly, I had my fair share of bullying. I was the kid that was bullied. I was a small, scrawny kid, and quite frankly, not very good at sports, even though I really tried. But I really sucked at sports. And, you know, quite frankly, I wasn't the best-looking kid, and not much has changed there. And so I was one of those kids that, quite frankly, got picked on. And I got picked on, you know, by kids on the football team. Actually, I was like an equal opportunity bulliest, if you will, in the sense that I got picked on by the stoners because I wasn't a stoner. I got picked on by the athletes because, of course, I was not a great athlete. And quite frankly, I wasn't smart enough, so I was the one kid that even this really smart, nerdy kids could pick on. So when this story came out about Amanda Todd, who very sadly will be 15 years old forever. It's a story that has really dominated the headlines. I know here in the States, we've been absolutely obsessed with, as we should be, the leader of the free world and all, we've been absolutely obsessed with the presidential debates, the vice presidential debates, and you know, overanalyzing Joe Biden's every gyration as he, you know, kind of laughs at Paul Ryan and so on and so forth. And I get that. So this story about Amanda Todd, though, outside of the United States, has absolutely gone around the world. And what my hope is that this is finally the one story, Amanda Todd, 15 years old forever. This is the one story that is so horrific and so incredibly sad that this will be the one story that finally, if you will, bring some hardcore attention to the situation of bullying. I know that even when I was in high school, we would all get hauled into the cafeteria or the gymnasium, and it was like once a year. The junior high had happened, and also in high school, you go in, and of course, everybody knows what it is. Oh God, here we go! It's going to be the bullying speech, and they bring in some cop or they bring in some psychologist, and they tell us, okay, you know, here's why you don't bully. And we all heard the same damn story and the same damn speech every year, and it never ever stopped. And that was back, you know, I can remember back in 1981, when I was in junior high school, we were always getting the speech. And so now here we are in 2012, and not only has bullying, honest to God, it's become even more prevalent in our society. So I'm hoping that by this Amanda Todd tragedy, and I'm going to tell you the story of Amanda Todd here in a second, you will be horrified. You will be absolutely horrified. Now, if you go to KOA's Facebook page, facebook.com/850KOA, you can see this video that this 15-year-old Amanda Todd posted 3 weeks before her suicide. Yeah, she committed suicide. And you can see this video. If you remember the old Bob Dylan music video, and I don't know which one it was, but it was one where he had all the cards, where Amanda Todd did the same thing. She posted this video, and I think it's about 5-6 minutes long. She doesn't say a word in the video. It's all written down on cards. And the story that she tells is very, very sad. And basically, at the age of 12, and this is the story that that Amanda Todd tells, at the age of 12, Amanda Todd made a mistake that many kids sadly make. She met a man in an internet chat room who convinced her, then 12 years old, Amanda Todd, to flash. And this scumbag, this guy, when she flashed, he took a picture. And basically what he did then for this little 12-year-old kid is he tormented Amanda Todd with this picture for the next 3 years leading up to her suicide. Now, when I tell you this story, think about if you have kids, think about your daughter. And think about your daughter going through this, because, of course, you know, I, as a lot of parents do, will personalize this story. So the man said to Amanda Todd, if you don't put on a show for me, a private show for me, then I'm going to send this picture to everyone that you know. And Amanda Todd, obviously horrified, although it looks like she obviously did not do it, because over Christmas break, shortly after that happened, the picture and the he took the picture there in September, about 3 years ago, and then over Christmas break, police came to her door 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, telling Amanda Todd and her parents that the picture of her breasts, unfortunately, went to everyone on Facebook, all the people that she knew, all the classmates that she knew. She refused to put on a show for this guy. The bullying and the ensuing fallout took such a toll on Amanda Todd that they had to move. Unfortunately, when you move, as everyone knows who's ever been dealt with Facebook or whatever, there's an internet history and it just doesn't go away. The guy virally chased her to the next school and basically did the same thing. What he did was he sent the picture to all of the friends that she had made in her new school. Things were looking up. And you can see this whole video, this whole story, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/850KOA. So she had to go to a third school. Now, in the second school, she ended up, because she was so upset, she got involved with the wrong boy. The boy had a girlfriend, and she got beat up. So not only does she have this whole picture thing going on, then she gets involved with this wrong kid, and then she gets beat up and was left in a ditch and could barely walk. Her dad found her in that ditch and took her home. And that's when Amanda Todd drank some bleach. She was rushed to the emergency room, had her stomach pumped. The amazing thing about this story, and the really incredibly sad thing about this story, is the kids on Facebook told her, after word got out of what happened, told her that she should have drank more bleach, enough to kill herself. And the tormenting continued on Facebook. On October 10th, Amanda Todd was found hanging in her home. She was successful in her second attempt to commit suicide. And the police have caught up with the guy who I was telling you about with the picture. Police have caught up with him. And I'm assuming they're going to take appropriate action. But what can we learn from this situation? Please go to facebook.com/850KOA. There's been a couple of suicides here in Denver, in the general area, with the in the high schools, at one of the high schools. I'm not going to mention any names or anything. But it is absolutely prevalent. I mean, good Lord, just Google teen suicide, and you'll see that it's more prevalent than ever. So coming up next, we're going to talk to Dr. Joel Haber. He's one of the foremost authorities on bullying. And we're going to talk a little bit about what we can learn from this terrible situation with Amanda Todd. And maybe as parents, we can all get some tips on how we can help our kids if they're the ones being bullied. Because I know a lot of us who are listening within the sound of my voice have been bullied. Some of us even were the bullies. So that's all coming up next right here on 850 KOA.
The ultimate racing experience. A trip for you and three friends to Homestead for racing's final weekend, November 17th and 18th. Text the keyword when you hear the cue for your chance to get registered. Sponsored by Homestead Miami Speedway and Motor Racing Network.
We're here in the studio with Hootie, the wise old owl. Ooh. When you replace your old windows, Gravina's on West Evans has the best value.
Who?
Gravina's, Hootie. They have over 50 lines of vinyl, wood, and fiberglass windows.
Ooh.
Gravina's, Hootie. They have more color choices and glass packages and can really save you a lot of money on your energy bills.
Ooh.
Gravina's can also install new beautiful maintenance-free vinyl or steel siding on your home as well. So before you say it, call Gravina's at 950 West Evans for a friendly free consultation and let my family serve your family. You're in for a treat at
Gravina's. Join Gravina's 100,000 satisfied customers and counting by calling 303-GRAVINA, 303-472-8462. That's 303-472-8462. Or visit their beautiful showroom at 950 West Evans. And remember,
Gravina's have the greatest windows. Nobody beats us.
Who?
Nobody.
Hi, Ralph Klump of Trace Jewelers. You know, looking around Denver, I'm amazed at the many places offering to buy your gold. They have dancing clowns, chickens or rabbits outside jumping around and twirling signs. Or these out-of-state guys that set up in hotels for a day, then disappear. Seriously, is this where you want to put your trust? Join the many thousands of people who allowed my company, Trice Jewelers, a name you've known and trusted for over 50 years, to evaluate and give you honest values for your gold and diamonds. Only at Trice will you meet with professional certified gemologists, appraisers who will professionally and discreetly work with you, paying you top value and immediate cash. Have a diamond you no longer need? Trice is Denver's largest buyer of diamonds of 1/2 carat or larger if they meet our standards. And we have immediate need and are paying premium prices for larger diamonds, 1 carat and up, especially with GIA certificates. Call for a private appointment or stop by anytime Monday through Saturday. We're easy to find. Our new location, 6885 South University, just south of Arapahoe Road, or visit us online at tricejewelers.com.
Can your business wait for downloads that turn into downtime? Can it wait for bills from the phone company to get easier on your bottom line? Of course not. It demands a new breed of speed. Comcast Business Class. Our internet speeds are up to 66 times faster than old T1 and DSL technology from the phone company, so you can work faster and more efficiently. Sign up for our triple play, and you'll also get unlimited local and nationwide calling and TV with networks that will keep your customers informed and entertained, all at a great price, which means you can save your money for more important things, like growing your business. Get Comcast Business Class Internet, Voice, and TV for just $94.85 per month. Don't wait. Call 800-501-6000 or visit business.comcast.com today to sign up. Your business can't wait.
Offer ends December 21, 2012. Restrictions apply. Includes basic TV, starter internet, and one voice line for new business class customers. 1 year contract required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra.
King Soopers fills my prescriptions while I shop, so I get more done in one stop.
So many people have discovered the convenience of their King Soopers pharmacy. We accept most insurance plans, including Express Scripts, and we always have, because we care about you and your family's health. Plus, you'll save with $4 and $10 generics. We accept competitors' pharmacy coupons. And it's King Soopers, so there's no need to join a club. Your King Soopers Pharmacy makes it easy.
And that means more time at home with my family.
Your health matters at King Soopers.
If you want to save big on the brands you and your family love, don't miss the Cartbuster Savings event going on right now at King Soopers. It's your chance to stock up and save on the brands you buy all the time, like Pepsi, Ruffles Chips, Tide, Tombstone Pizza, and lots more of your favorites, all at special Cartbuster Savings. So be sure to look for the Cartbuster tag store-wide and hurry in for all the savings at your neighborhood King Soopers, where you get more value for the way you live.
Get a real rush.
Wow, I think you're talking about me.
Weekdays at noon on 850 KOA.
News Radio, 850 KOA 119. My name is Dan Mandis. Thank you very much for being here. Talking about 15-year-old Amanda Todd bullied to the point of suicide. It is a terrible story. You can get all the details on our Facebook page, facebook.com/850KOA. She was basically bullied to the point where she committed suicide. She tried once, and then all these kids ganged up on 15-year-old Amanda Todd on Facebook, and the second time around, she was successful. How can we prevent our kids from being not only bullied, but also obviously bullied to the point of suicide? We spoke to Dr. Joel Haber. He is known as the bully coach. And Joel, I appreciate you being on with us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
So how is it possible? I went to school back in the mid-80s, and I remember we used to get called into the gymnasium or the cafeteria, and they would talk to us all about bullying and how you're not supposed to bully everybody, and everybody kind of rolled their eyes. But we did listen. Here we are some 25 years later, and bullying is still happening. How is this even possible at this point in time?
Well, I think that back then in the 80s and before, you know, it was kind of like a rite of passage. People just knew it happened and they'd kind of scold you for it. But there wasn't any kind of comprehensive kind of plan or so much media coverage now to kind of get people on board with this whole issue to see if we can put a noose around its neck. The reality is that, you know, now it's a very different kind of thing. Since Columbine back when, you know, with the school shootings, there's really been a resurgence in this whole topic of bullying. Mm-hmm. And now the media's kind of really gotten involved with it. And there's been some suicides connected to bullying, which has made it even that much more scary for people. So that's taken a national interest now moving forward.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned school suicides. We've just had, in my kid's school, I mean, we had a suicide and a suicide attempt here in the past 30 days, and we've been talking about this Amanda Todd situation out in Canada. And it's just, it's a horrible story, and you read the story, and, you know, we're now, Amanda Todd, as we were talking about, committed suicide. And yeah. It seemed like there were so many missed opportunities to help this girl if somebody just stood up and took notice. I mean, the situation with Amanda Todd was not only was she bullied in person at school, she changed schools numerous times, but the bullying followed her thanks to social media. Is social media and really the World Wide Web, is that really the new realm of bullying these days?
Yeah, you know, bullying's expanded from the time of just thinking about bullying as being a physical thing, you know, with a big kid kind of picking on the little kid who was weaker and throwing him into a locker or pushing and kicking, to more verbal bullying kind of things, and then what we call relational bullying, which is exclusion, to now having this whole internet and what we call cyberbullying piece start, which is everyone's now on social media, everyone's on using technology, and the bullying kind of behaviors that we saw in the schoolyard are now through technology. So kids have no place to go now. They used to come home from school if they were bullied and have a safe place. Now it's at home on their computer.
So what do you tell parents who, you know, again, you read this Amanda Todd story, and we went over it before we got you on the air, and there were, I think, at least four or five different schools, and each school that she went to, there were opportunities for either the school to step in or Facebook to step in. You're familiar with the case. Who went wrong in the Amanda Todd situation, and what could have been done to prevent this?
You know, that's a really tragic story, and the reason it's gripped really the world over now, because I can tell you I'm getting calls from all over the world about this case, is that it's a cyberbullying case, it's a bullying case, it's a predator case.
It is a predator
and
case, yeah.
It is, which I see it as mainly, you know, this predator went after her initially, got her to kind of sexually come through and give him what he wanted, which was a picture of her chest, and then took that and threatened her and harassed her and followed her around wherever she went. So there was no place for her to go with this humiliation and overwhelming sense of embarrassment and isolation, because then everyone turned on her when that became like when she became the laughingstock. So the predator side made it scary. The suicide at the end really kind of, you know, just was such a tragic thing. But she had nowhere in herself to go. She felt like it was never going to leave her. Even when the family moved, she was followed with this. So that's the tragedy. So with cases like that, the problem is, what could have been done? That case is still being explored. They're still looking for the predator there. There's a lot of information, but I don't think they have him yet from what I've read. And the question is, like, what could have been done? It sounds like the family actually tried to do things by supporting her and providing supports in place. But the problem was she felt so isolated. And you can see the progression of this, even to that last video when she had those cards, when she told her story, almost in a way to kind of let others know that this is the tragedy. Can you do something with my story to try to prevent this from happening to others?
Yeah, I mean, she was literally, and if you can see that video on 850KOA's Facebook page,
right.
Tragic is almost not even the word. It is heartbreaking what happened to this girl. But I guess for me, because I'm trying to put my because I've got a daughter who's close to the same age, and so I'm trying to put myself into the position of Amanda Todd's parents.
Right.
What could they have done? Could they have contacted Facebook? Because if you know the story where, and as we were talking about before, where she posted this video on Facebook and other places. And literally, the people that had been bullying her jumped onto the video and literally encouraged her to commit suicide. So how do you can these people be arrested? I know that the guy who took the screenshot of her chest, I know he's going to get caught. I think the group Anonymous, by the way, has found him, and I believe he is going to face charges. But. What can somebody do if I'm Amanda Todd's parents, or if that's my kid or a listener's kid or whoever, and that's happening, who can I go to at Facebook? Can I go to the police? What can happen? How can I protect my kid?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. And I think, you know, there's a lot of legal pieces to this because Canadian laws are different than our laws. But yes, certainly you can go to Facebook and let them know. I'm not sure, actually, in this case, if that's what happened. Do you know if they did?
I don't know. The investigation has been somewhat, I don't want to say undercover, but really the focus of the investigation has been on the guy who took the pictures. And
right.
And that's kind of like the obvious one where,
right.
In my opinion, and I don't know if he's going to be charged for this, but in my opinion, that's receiving and distributing child porn. I mean, that's obvious. But and so we know kind of what's going to happen to him. But if what do you do with all these other kids who have been bullying Amanda Todd and really, in my mind, talked her into committing suicide? That's not necessarily a crime, is it?
Well, you know, the laws are not that clear, and it's really difficult in suicide cases to necessarily have cause and effect. This one is probably one of the closest we've seen when we look at her progression in that downward spiral. And in this case, too, I mean, it turns out that part of the thing that really made it worse for her was that she had interest in a boy that turned out to be someone else's, you know,
boyfriend,
some other girl's boyfriend, and then she got her friends. That's kind of like has like that same feel as the Phoebe Prince thing that we saw in Massachusetts. You know, where kids turn on someone else, especially over a relationship, which adds a different level of bullying. But for this girl, she had bullying on so many different levels in that predator issue.
And she could not get away from it. And
get away from different kinds of bullying and different kinds of extreme isolation, humiliation, and the sense of despair, which she talks about in that video and documented kind of in her way as she kind of let people know what was happening to her over those 2 years. So the problem is, look, you know, her parents knew that she was in a tough place. She had support set up, but sometimes, you know, even with hope, because it sounded like she planned to try to find, like, Demi Lovato, you know, within the next year and get into this bullying thing. But she gave up hope, I guess, when the torment and the torture for her became just too much. So parents were aware somewhat of that. And, you know, in cases like that, we try to put in as many supports as possible and kind of help, but it's not fully clear what all those supports were.
And trying to bring it back home to the person that might be listening at home, because my kids, to be honest, I mean they've had their fair share of being bullied. And when I was a kid, I, to be perfectly frank and honest, and maybe this is why it hits home to me, I was bullied as well. I was a short, skinny, scrawny kid, and so life wasn't quite frankly easy for me in high school too. What can you do, though, if because my reaction and probably the reaction of a lot of parents listening right now is one of anger. And
yes.
what we've done in our house, quite frankly, is when one of our kids was bullied, and I kid you not, we actually went to the home of these of the kid, the other kid's parents.
Right.
And our basic message was, we have an attorney on retainer. And we will own your home. We will own your car. And we really play tough talk with them. And, of course, it actually worked. But not all parents are going to be as aggressive as we are. What do you tell a parent whose kid might be going through this?
Yeah, I mean, the first recourse we always take is to say, look, you know, bullying happens. It's actually not so unusual for kids to have experiences with bullying, even though either on the receiving end or even trying it out here and there. But if your kid's in that position, we always say, to start with, if you can, go through the school. Are there people in school who can help figure out what's happened, especially if it's on school grounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Try to kind of let them try to work out the situation and solution. Because the risk is, and luckily for you it worked out, if you contact the parent directly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you do not know what that response of that parent will be unless you know the parent well. I always tell parents, if you know the parent well and you have a relationship with them, there's a greater likelihood things will work out. But sometimes, if you go to a parent, you don't know what the consequence is going to be to their kid and then what that kid will do to yours for kind of ratting them out.
Right.
It's frightening. So we try to have an outside person, like the school, deal with it if possible. You took a strong action in that situation, and it worked because the parents got it. And look, lots of schools now and parents, because laws now are giving them more protection, are taking it to the legal place or, you know, police for report, you know, for order protection or, you know, documenting this kind of harassment, aggressive kind of suits. If that happens, look, sometimes that's necessary to do, but we try to do it in a way that's more, you know, like stepwise. Go through your school. See if your kid can try to work it out first. See if the school people are helpful, if they're doing what they need to. You could always up the ante one step at a time, but the goal for me always is, especially unless these things are severe. If your kid can find a solution, that's going to be the best thing over time. Because if they see that they can work it out and find something that works for them, that's the home run.
News Radio, 850 KOA. My name is Dan Mandis, talking about this terrible story of 15-year-old Amanda Todd and how she committed suicide. We'll recap the story coming up next as we talk with Dr. Joel Haber. He's known as the bully coach. And really, what can we learn from the suicide of a 15-year-old Amanda Todd, who was basically bullied into committing suicide, in my estimation? It is 1:31 up next. Specifically, what can a kid do once the bullying starts to nip that bullying in the bud? And why is bullying still even an issue after so many years? It is 1:32. My name is Dan Mandis. David Kale, news here on 850 KOA.
Okay, thank you, Dan.
News Radio 850 KOA 1:37. My name is Dan Mandis. Appreciate you being here. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/850KOA. Check out the video, the very sad video of 15-year-old Amanda Todd that she put up online just 3 weeks before her suicide. The story is out of Canada, but we here in, obviously in America, anywhere, can very much learn from what happened to this poor 15-year-old girl. Basically, she made a mistake and flashed herself to a man online, and that man, which turned out to be some 32-year-old guy, tormented her for years and used that picture. He flashed a picture and used that and posted it all over Facebook. And really, Amanda Todd tried to get away from this guy. She could not. And ultimately, not only from this guy that tormented her as she moved from school to school, and also her supposed friends who also ganged up on this poor 15-year-old girl and told her, you know what, after the first time she committed suicide, she was unsuccessful. Her people, her friends on Facebook, the people that friended her on Facebook, told her, this 15-year-old girl, that she really needed to be successful the second time around and drink more bleach. I've never seen a case of bullying quite like this. And you can see the video that Amanda Todd put on there on our Facebook page, facebook.com/850KOA. And so I decided to call one Dr. Joel Haber. He is known as the bully coach. And he's telling us what we can do to help our kids in case they fall prey to bullying. Before the break, we were talking about what kids can do themselves to try and fend off or ward off bullying. In the Amanda Todd cases, we've been talking about the bullying via social media and in person at multiple different schools, really followed her wherever she went, And really, we talked a little bit before the break about what kids can do to try and solve the problem before it gets severe. If somebody's listening, a parent or a kid who is listening, and they are being bullied, what can a kid do without a parent getting involved? Because I told you a little bit about my situation where I ended up going to the house of a kid who was bullying my kid, and luckily that went well. But as you correctly pointed out, that can backfire. What can a kid do to try and nip this problem in the bud?
I think the hard part is to remember that, you know, your kid, when they face a situation like this, is going to feel frightened, they're going to feel scared. But part of it is sometimes with kids, depending on the age, they can feel really awful 1 minute, and the next minute, sometimes kids are friends again, or the situation is not the same the next day. So one thing we have to do is talk to our kids about what they want to do, what they feel comfortable doing. In terms of handling a situation, they may not know, but we can brainstorm with them or problem solve. Like sometimes kids actually just want to, you know, let things go the next day. Or maybe they want to go up to the kid who's being mean and say, hey, like, what's the deal? You know, or Sometimes if a kid, you know, is picking on another kid because they're emotional or reactive, we can teach kids to try to decrease their reaction so it's not so much fun for a bullying kid to do that. For kids online, if they get, you know, someone being nasty or mean, if you don't respond, it doesn't actually keep the thing going. Sometimes that can work. But it's okay to let your kids try things out first, because if they come up with the winning solution, they're going to feel like, hey, this is pretty good. I worked it out myself. That's always better, as we said before, than us fixing it for them. But if things don't work, no matter what they try, then we take it to our parent level. Then we take it to the school. And sometimes now with laws, you know, the school wants to know right away, especially if it's within a school domain. But we still want kids to try, unless it gets to a point where they feel like they can't, you know, work it out themselves to really bring in the whole core of adults.
Now, when you say go to the school, because I started out the segment talking about how I remember back in the mid-80s, you know, being hauled into the cafeteria and getting the bullying lecture, and we could always go through that every year. How is it possible, Dr. Haber, that this has been going on for so long and the schools still don't have some sort of a perfect solution for bullying? I mean, I don't want to blame the schools, and I'm not, but you would think that after so many years, we would know by now what works and what doesn't work.
Can I tell you the crazy thing is that no matter what states have bullying laws, and we're all in this game together, and almost all states do now, bullying is still going on at the same frequency because kids are smart. They come up with new ways to continue to do this. So schools, what we do know they need to do is they need to kind of have a consistent program and training of staff, parents, and kids about what bullying is and what it isn't, and when it happens, where they should go, who they should tell. There should be a school person involved in this or a team of people. Everyone in school, every school needs like 5 or 6 safe adults who kids can go to report safely and confidentially. Because kids really, even if it's tough for them, they want to feel like they have connection. And we do a lot of work to encourage kids to help other kids out when they see bullying occur, even if it's not direct. Because the hardest part of bullying is the isolation.
Right.
No kid wants to feel alone. And if kids feel like they're not alone, either from faculty support or they get support of other kids in the school, peer leaders, you know, or peers themselves, it takes the edge off. It makes it more comfortable for them to not feel like they're being marginalized and isolated and excluded to a point where there's no fun going to school anymore. That's when it becomes a real problem.
And the schools are in a tough position too, because let's say my kid's being bullied or whoever's kid is being bullied, they go to the school, and then the school takes action, as we talked about with a parent going to the house of somebody who is bullying my kid, for example. It can backfire because the school, honest to God, can only do so much, because the school can do something while the kids are in school. But if a kid is walking home, they know that that kid went to the school goes to the bully, and now the bully knows that the kid that was being bullied has routed out the bully. Well, then that kid could get his butt kicked on the way home from school, right?
Well, if it's a kid who's isolated and walking home, and then a bully picks on him, and there's nowhere the person who ever saw it, then there's probably a potential for that kid to, you know that if there's a report on him, it came from that person. However, in school, or in situations even, you know, like when even things happen outside of school, when there are a number of people around who witness, it doesn't have to sound like it came from the target themselves. We encourage kids who have friends or people who watch to report confidentially to the school about what happened. So that way the school can even say, look, we have multiple reports on what happened, and try to mitigate that one kid's exposure. Because everyone's afraid to let someone know if they feel like it's going to make it worse for them. But with good reporting and safe, confidential reporting set up by a school, it does actually reduce a lot of the problems that kids fear, which is that they're going to be found out if they report.
You know, it's interesting, and I don't belabor the point, but you know, the show is all about me. So when I was a kid, I suffered through a little bit of bullying, and
sure.
And so when I became a parent, I was actually probably absurdly paranoid that my kids were going to be bullied, and
I
tried to take steps to make sure that my kid wasn't bullied. Now, and again,
how'd you do that?
You know what? I did what I thought was obvious, which was I got them involved in karate. I tried to make sure that, you know, their self-esteem was where it needed to be, so on and so forth. If somebody's got a younger kid, and by the way, the it's actually worked, because when my kids were bullied a little bit, it was actually the mom and dad, me and my wife, who were, you know, quite frankly, more pissed off than my kids were.
Sure.
But what, if a parent of a young kid is listening right now, what can they do to make their kids not the target of a bully when they get up to the junior high and high school level? Is there, you know, as I said, take karate, involved in sports, or, you know, Boy Scouts, whatever it is?
Well, great question. A little complicated, but just the short answer is, I recommend, which is when kids are young, parents should think, my kid needs 2 groups of friends minimum.
Okay.
Not 1 group, 2 groups. Not 1 best friend, but 2, 3 or more best friends or good friends. Because in school, as kids go through elementary school, middle school, high school, their friends change. They rotate. It's part of development. It's part of what happens as kids mature. And the more social groups you have separate from one, the more opportunity you'll have to feel safe if one group goes bad.
Got it.
And that's critical. I can't tell you enough how important that is. And secondly, these ideas for kids to have other things that define them in unique ways that make them feel good about themselves. So they're not only relying on their social life to make them feel good, because if bullying happens and all of a sudden they feel like they don't have anything, their life can go crushingly down. But if they have hobbies, support, things they enjoy, other things they like to do, sports, whatever it is, in different places, they have places to go when they feel the effects of something that doesn't go so well. So it's kind of like building a barrier through different relationships, different activities, building their confidence, and, like we said, building skills. Like you talked about karate. For some kids, that's great. For other kids, it's learning how not to be so dramatic when a kid picks on them. Like for some kids, you know, like when a bully picks on a kid who's a target, they're looking for a big emotional reaction many times. So if your kid is one of those kids who gets really angry and dramatic, we can teach them to lower that level through role-playing. And sometimes kids realize that, hey, you know, if it's not so fun for a bully to pick on me, they're going to move on and not pick on me anymore. We have to think about the skills kids need to help them work through these situations. And every kid's different, so there's no one single answer for what's going to work for everyone, except friendships. It's great for everybody.
News Radio 850 KOA, that is Dr. Joel Haber. He's known as the Bully Coach. My name is Dan Mattis. We are talking about this horrific story out of British Columbia, Canada. 15-year-old Amanda Todd. It's really a story that while here in America we have been, rightfully so, so focused on the presidential election, the terrible story of a 15-year-old Amanda Todd bullied to the point of suicide is what happened to Amanda Todd. If you have not seen the video as of yet, it has gone viral, by the way. You can see it at our Facebook page, and that's going to be facebook.com/850KOA. Last time I saw it, had literally millions and millions and millions of hits. And it's my hope, and there, by the way, the Dr. Joel Haber interview, he's one of the foremost experts on how to cope with bullying. News Radio 850 KOA. My name is Dan Mattis with Dr. Joel Haber. He's known as the bullying coach. We're talking about this horrific story in British Columbia, Canada, the Amanda Todd story. She was somebody who was a 14, 15-year-old kid who was really the subject of severe bullying. And you can see the video. Really, it was her last cry of help. And before she, unfortunately, committed suicide, you can see her video online at facebook.com/850KOA. Before the break, Dr. Joel Haber, we were talking about what kids can do themselves to try and fend off or ward off bullying. In the Amanda Todd cases, we've been talking about the bullying via social media and in person at multiple different schools, really followed her wherever she went. And really, we talked a little bit before the break about what kids can do to try and solve the problem before it gets severe. If somebody's listening, a parent or a kid who is listening, and they are being bullied, what can a kid do without a parent getting involved? Because I told you a little bit about my situation where I ended up going to the house of a kid who was bullying my kid, and luckily that went well. But as you correctly pointed out, that can backfire. What can a kid do to try and nip this problem in the bud?
I think the hard part is to remember that, you know, your kid, when they face a situation like this, is going to feel frightened, they're going to feel scared. But part of it is sometimes with kids, depending on the age, it can feel really awful one minute, and the next minute, sometimes kids are friends again, or the situation is not the same the next day. So one thing we have to do is talk to our kids about, we can talk to our kids about what they want to do, what they feel comfortable doing in terms of handling a situation. They may not know, but we can brainstorm with them or problem solve. Like sometimes kids actually just want to, you know, let things go the next day. Or maybe they want to go up to the kid who's being mean and say, hey, like, what's the deal? You know, or
right.
Sometimes if a kid, you know, is picking on another kid because they're emotional or reactive, we can teach kids to try to decrease their reaction so it's not so much fun for a bullying kid to do that. For kids online, if they get, you know, someone being nasty or mean, if you don't respond, it doesn't actually keep the thing going. Sometimes that can work. But it's okay to let your kids try things out first. Because if they come up with the winning solution, they're going to feel like, hey, this is pretty good. I worked it out myself. That's always better, as we said before, than us fixing it for them. But if things don't work, no matter what they try, Then we take it to our parent level. Then we take it to the school. And sometimes now with laws, you know, the school wants to know right away, especially if it's within a school domain. But we still want kids to try unless it gets to a point where they feel like they can't, you know, work it out themselves to really bring in the whole core of adults.
Now, when you say go to the school, because I started out the segment talking about how I remember back in the mid-80s, you know, being hauled into the cafeteria and getting the bullying lecture, and we could always go through that every year. How is it possible, Dr. Haber, that this has been going on for so long and the schools still don't have some sort of a perfect solution for bullying? I mean, I don't want to blame the schools, and I'm not, but you would think that after so many years, we would know by now what works and what doesn't work.
Can I tell you the crazy thing is that no matter what states have bullying laws, and we're all in this game together, and almost all states do now, bullying is still going on at the same frequency because kids are smart. They come up with new ways to continue to do this. So schools, what we do know they need to do is they need to kind of have a consistent program and training of staff, parents, and kids about what bullying is and what it isn't, and when it happens, where they should go, who they should tell. There should be a school person involved in this or a team of people. Everyone in school, every school needs like 5 or 6 safe adults who kids can go to report safely and confidentially. Because kids really, even if it's tough for them, they want to feel like they have connection. And we do a lot of work to encourage kids to help other kids out when they see bullying occur, even if it's not direct. Because the hardest part of bullying is the isolation.
Right.
No kid wants to feel alone. And if kids feel like they're not alone, either from faculty support or they get support of other kids in the school, peer leaders, you know, or peers themselves, it takes the edge off. It makes it more comfortable for them to not feel like they're being marginalized and isolated and excluded to a point where there's no fun going to school anymore. That's when it becomes a real problem.
And the schools are in a tough position too, because let's say my kid's being bullied or whoever's kid is being bullied, they go to the school, and then the school takes action, as we talked about with a parent going to the house of somebody who is bullying my kid, for example. It can backfire because the school, honest to God, can only do so much, because the school can do something while the kids are in school. But if a kid is walking home, they know that that kid went to the school goes to the bully, and now the bully knows that the kid that was being bullied has ratted out the bully. Well, then that kid could get his butt kicked on the way home from school, right?
Well, if it's a kid who's isolated and walking home and then a bully picks on him and there's no other person who ever saw it, then there's probably a potential for that kid to, you know that if there's a report on him, it came from that person. However, in school or in situations even, you know, like when even things happen outside of school, when there are a number of people around who witness, it doesn't have to sound like it came from the target themselves. We encourage kids who have friends or people who watch to report confidentially to the school about what happened. So that way the school can even say, look, we have multiple reports on what happened, and try to mitigate that one kid's exposure. Because everyone's afraid to let someone know if they feel like it's going to make it worse for them. But with good reporting and safe, confidential reporting set up by a school, it does actually reduce a lot of the problems that kids fear, which is that they're going to be found out if they report.
You know, it's interesting, and I don't belabor the point, but you know, the show is all about me. So when I was a kid, I suffered through a little bit of bullying, and and so when I became a parent, I was actually probably absurdly paranoid that my kids were going to be bullied, and
not alone.
Yeah, and I tried to take steps to make sure that my kid wasn't bullied. Now, you know what? I did what I thought was obvious, which was I got them involved in karate. I tried to make sure that, you know, their self-esteem was where it needed to be, so on and so forth. If somebody's got a younger kid, and by the way, it's actually worked, because when my kids were bullied a little bit, it was actually the mom and dad, me and my wife, who were, you know, quite frankly, more pissed off than my kids were.
Sure.
But what, if a parent of a young kid is listening right now, what can they do to make their kids not the target of a bully when they get up to the junior high and high school level? Is there, you know, as I said, take karate, involved in sports, or, you know, Boy Scouts, whatever it is?
Well, great question. A little complicated, but just the short answer is, I recommend, which is when kids are young, parents should think, my kid needs 2 groups of friends minimum.
Okay.
Not one group, 2 groups. not one best friend, but two, three, or more best friends, or good friends. Because in school, as kids go through elementary school, middle school, high school, their friends change. They rotate. It's part of development. It's part of what happens as kids mature. And the more social groups you have, separate from one, the more opportunity you'll have to feel safe if one group goes bad.
Got it.
And that's critical. I can't tell you enough how important that is. And secondly, these ideas for kids to have other things that define them in unique ways that make them feel good about themselves. So they're not only relying on their social life to make them feel good, because if bullying happens and all of a sudden they feel like they don't have anything, their life can go crushingly down. But if they have hobbies, support, things they enjoy, other things they like to do, sports, whatever it is, in different places, they have places to go when they feel the effects of something that doesn't go so well. So it's kind of like building a barrier through different relationships, different activities, building their confidence, and, like we said, building skills. Like you talked about karate. For some kids, that's great. For other kids, it's learning how not to be so dramatic when a kid picks on them. Like for some kids, you know, like when a bully picks on a kid as a target, they're looking for a big emotional reaction many times. So if your kid is one of those kids who gets really angry and dramatic, we can teach them to lower that level through role-playing. And sometimes kids realize that, hey, you know, if it's not so fun for a bully to pick on me, they're going to move on and not pick on me anymore. We have to think about the skills kids need to help them work through these situations. And every kid's different, so there's no one single answer for what's going to work for everyone, except friendships. It's great for everybody.
So is there one, you kind of touched on it with the drama, with being dramatic, is there one trait that that victims of somebody who's a bully, is there one trait that most victims of bullying share? And I'm going to ask you about that. I'm going to ask you to answer that.
Sure.
As soon as we come back from this break, can you stick with us for one more segment?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, sir. We will be back next with Dr. Joel Haber. He is the bully coach, and we're talking about this horrific story out of a British Columbia, Canada, and Amanda Todd, a teenager who was bullied to the point where she committed suicide. And part of the questions that I'm asking is, what can we here in Denver learn from this tragic story? And we'll get that. We'll be back. Let's see, I got to edit that.
Yeah.
And we'll have more with Dr. Haber next, right here on 850 KOA. All right. So
One thing I would ask too is if you could also, when you mention my name, mention my website.
Oh, absolutely. I've got it.
RespectTheLetterU.com.
Yeah, respect you, the letter U. Yeah, I got that's fine.
Okay, but you know what we will talk about, which I'm happy to, is that you know the notion of you know kids. I think you're asking about like what traits targets have. They're vulnerable and they show some vulnerability. I mean, the reality is that a bully can pick on anyone they want to,
right.
And I can talk about what makes kids vulnerable,
what
it is they have. And there's some misconceptions about that, because it's a lot about the social ladder, we call it, and why, you know, when kids try to move up the ladder of popularity,
right,
that they're vulnerable. But I will talk about that in this next segment, absolutely.
Sweet, perfect. Okay, cool. So here we go. News Radio 850 KOA. My name is Dan Mandis. Saturday afternoon. Hope you're doing well. And we are talking about this terrible story out of British Columbia, Canada. Amanda Todd, she was bullied to the point where she committed suicide. She left a final video a few days before she died, and it was up on our Facebook page. That video is up on our Facebook page at 850KOA.com. You can find that video. Let's see. You can find the video on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/850KOA. We are joined by really one of the country's foremost experts on bullying. He's called the bully coach, Dr. Joel Haber. Appreciate you sticking around for one more segment. Before the break, the question I had for you was really, is there one character trait that victims of bullies have? And because we were talking a little bit about how to really, if you've got small kids and you're a parent listening, you've got small kids, how can we avoid, how can we make sure that we do whatever we can to make sure that our kids are not the victims of bullies? What is that one trait that all victims of bullies have? And then I'm going to ask you, what's the one trait that bullies have? But first, the victims. What do you think?
Well, I think what happens is that, and if you look at bullying in context, it's kind of like a thing that happens. It's not just involves two people, it involves a whole group. So kids really who bully are looking for social validation. They're looking for popularity. They're looking to kind of feel stronger in themselves, and they look for kids to support them in that. So So to do that, bullying is about power. So they look for kids who are lower than them on power or kids they can put down on the ladder to make them less powerful, to make themselves more powerful. So they look for vulnerable kids. So kids who are vulnerable may be shy, they may be really smart, they may look different in some way, they may wear different clothes. If a bully wants to, you know, hurt someone else or pick on someone else or bully them, they can find any trait, actually. But kids who don't actually know how to kind of stand up to another kid or joke at them or make fun of themselves or, you know, kind of go with it are more likely to be bullied, especially if a bully will test out different kids when they get support for the kid they're picking on from other kids. Meaning if they pick a weak kid and other kids join them in that, that's the kid who's going to be labeled as a target because they're looking for friends or other people in the class, whatever, in their grade, to validate them. So they look for a kid who is weak in some way or makes it fun for them to pick on. And that can happen even with popular kids. Sometimes we see kids who want to move up the popular ladder. If it's a threatening thing, sometimes kids who want to move up the ladder create vulnerability in themselves because they're trying to move up the status ladder. And then kids who are at the top may pick on them too because they see the threat.
Yeah, and you're right. If you're a kid who, because I remember this in high school, I was not a social climber, but if a kid is trying to be a social climber, and maybe there's the big kid in school sees that as a threat or yep. whatever, is it smarter for kids to? Because I was one of these kids where you stay off the grid and you keep your head down and you play whatever sport you want, but really the focus of school. Is learning. Is it smarter for kids just to, as I said, just try and stay off the grid?
Well, some kids can do that, and they're comfortable in it, and they have their own friends, and they're comfortable in school, and they're okay, and it works. They kind of, like, go through and don't get caught up in this drama, because bullying's like a drama. It's like a dynamic.
Yeah.
But other kids have a hard time staying off the grid because they want popularity. They want to be liked. They want to be visible. And kids who are in those positions sometimes will take them down because they don't want to have their positions shifted. So, you know, it's risky, but we're all competitive people. Like, we all are born with a need to survive. So, you know, moving on and trying to surpass another person is kind of in our gene pool. But we want to try to tell kids, look, you know, we're not in caveman days.
Right.
You're here in school. You're here to learn. You're here to have fun. If you're seeing kids who are being mean and nasty and you don't need to be involved with those kids, what's the point?
All right. Right? So that's the common denominator in victims that are bullies is that vulnerability.
Yep.
What is that one character trait of a bully, him or herself?
Generally, it's status. I know it sounds like a crazy thing because it's not like all aggressive kids are bullies. And we used to think that aggressive kids mean that they're bullies. There's a lot of kids that make a bully. But the problem is that the reasons really go to this need for attention and social support and status themselves. They're looking for power and having the support of their peers. And, look, that could come from home where parents push kids to be aggressive and be out on top and be number one, and they don't really care about how someone else feels below them. But sometimes kids don't know that they're being bullying. That's the other crazy thing. Kids test out these behaviors because maybe they see that it's normal to be mean to others from home. So we have to let kids know when they're, like, crossing the line in school, hey, you know what? Did you see how you made that other kid feel? How would you feel if that were you? And sometimes a kid who does that, like, wakes up, like, what? Didn't even really get it. So we can't stereotype and make assumptions about all bullying kids because many times they don't even know what they're doing in that kind of way. That's why we encourage schools to intervene when these things happen quickly and jump in. Or if you see your kid doing that, sit them down and say, whoa, did you see how you made that other kid feel? It just helps them see the reality of their behavior. If they continue to do it, they're still using bullying behavior. If they stop, it really helps your kid develop a good skill set right there.
Yeah, you know, I'm so cynical, and maybe it's because I have a couple of kids, but when you look at the horrific nature of going back to the Amanda Todd situation.
Well, that's the worst situation we've seen in a long time.
Do you think that the Amanda Todd situation, and just to for those folks who are just joining us, Amanda Todd, a teenager in British Columbia, Canada, she was bullied, and it was not only in person, but it was also in social media and Facebook, and it followed her wherever she went. She changed schools multiple times, and she was bullied all the way up to the point where she committed suicide. I'm talking to Dr. Joel Haber, who is a bullying expert. He's known as the bullying coach. You can, by the way, find his website at respectyou.com. And Dr. Haber, do you think that with this Amanda Todd situation, do you think this is finally going to be the case where we can, I know it was in Canada, but can we here in America finally come up with some sort of laws as it relates to social media and bullying and web bullying and cyber bullying? Is this the case that's going to finally get us to the point where we can make some hardcore decisions on how to legally punish kids who perhaps are bullying other kids online?
Well, I can tell you that this case is probably the case that will spearhead those efforts more than any other. I did a BBC program this week, and I was speaking to legislatures on this program too, and they are really taking this as the motive, you know, the motivation to push through these laws, because these kind of cases should never happen again. So something like this is a catalyst for change. And this has really turned Canada and the world really into really kind of like what's happening that this could happen to this girl, and could it happen to our kids? So things like this have to be spearheaded. We have to use these examples to try to push our lawmakers, push our states to kind of really try to identify and encourage people to get together in communities and work on this stuff. So if you have bullying in your community or in schools, push for action, push for programs. Make this something that can help your kids feel safe with, so kids can join into these activities in school and become part of the solution in every school.
So here in Colorado, just to go over very quickly, what are the general basic Colorado bullying laws?
Yeah, like I had a chance to look at the law here in Colorado, and it's basically that there's kind of like a safe school plan they encourage everyone to have, right? It's kind of like a policy.
Mm-hmm.
It does not include cyberbullying, from what I can see.
Okay.
And I think the issue there is that, you know, they want everyone to have a safe school, but it doesn't necessarily go very far.
Right.
To specifically say, we want, you know, reports of this, you know, every month. We want to know how many kids are bullied. We need to really understand, if you have this issue, how you're going to handle it. And the training issues. Like, there's a lot of gaps, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
It's still a good beginning,
right?
But a safe school need is only as good as the people enforcing it. So it's a good point. That's why programs like yours, like this in Colorado, and you're talking about this, is a great stepping stone for people to get on the bandwagon and encourage their lawmakers to do more, and encourage schools to really put together much more of a safe plan with specifics for their school to help their kids feel safe.
So let me ask you a question, though. If you're if a kid is bullying another kid and they both go to the same school, is that the school's purview? Can the school actually take action against a student who might be bullying another kid on their own time, on their own Facebook page?
Yeah, you know, the whole cyberbullying law and the laws are kind of still loose. However, schools are now moving in the last several years to saying that if you have two students involved in your school with a cyberbullying incident, it is our responsibility, generally, to try to work this stuff out, because there's more of a virtual world now than ever before. Not by law necessarily yet, but it sets the trend that this is community issues. These are the things we have to deal with and have discussions and work with these kids on their behavior in and out of school, because that's the problem. When people leave the schoolyard, is it really, like, not anyone's problem anymore? And the problem is, with the virtual world, which all kids now have and all kids have access to, school has to be a place of rallying and talking about the relationship issues that occur amongst students and amongst friends. And cyber stuff is the same thing as regular relationship stuff. I think it's a great place for schools to get involved. And I think that will be mandated more so in time.
Well, social media and Facebook and obviously the web, I mean, they've been around for years. So
yeah.
It just seems to me like, quite frankly, if the schools don't have a policy now, or if the general law doesn't, you know, local laws, local ordinances, if they don't have any laws now on the books, they are way, way behind. In my opinion, to the point of negligent, because we have had story, you know, Amanda Todd, this is a story that has gripped, you know, as you said earlier, the world, but it's certainly not a new notion of kids bullying other kids
No.
online. what's taking so long? And is this just a natural thing where it seems like our actual actionable laws are so far behind what's actually happening in America? Why is it that it's taking so long?
Well, think about it this way. You know, before when we talked about bullying, we never even talked about states having bullying laws. You know, in the last several years, we're seeing now states come on board where finally almost all states now have bullying laws. But a law, again, is a beginning. It's a way to kind of tell schools, we need your help. You know, some schools have this federal part, I think you do too, that, you know, they have to monitor harassment and discrimination, and they can lose federal funds if they don't actually, you know, follow their safe school plan. So they're trying to get involved, but every state is unique that way, which makes it so difficult. But it is a problem that we're still learning about, and the social media changes all the time. So the cyber laws are still being worked on. We're not there yet. That's part of the pain and frustration. Like you're saying, it's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Technology being the way we are, how come we can't just really get this stuff down? Because things are changing frequently with technology, and laws take so much longer to kind of put into existence. That's why schools, in my mind, communities have to really talk these issues out and really kind of come to grips with how we would handle things and start those discussions if kids face these issues. So they have a plan, even if the laws don't necessarily match it at the moment.
All right. So earlier I asked you how you can make sure that your kids do not become a target of bullying. I kind of asked you about the common denominator of,
right,
of a victim of bullying. So let me ask you this. How can I, as a parent, or me as some other, you know, some parents that are listening, how can they make sure that their kid does not become a bully?
Yeah, it's even a tougher problem. And the problem we face in that with that question, great question, is that many times, you know, parents want their kid to get ahead, be popular, be aggressive, and they don't care how their kid does it, right?
Yeah.
So parents who kind of role model that or encourage their kids to kind of, you know, be out in front and look, you know what, you got to win. You got to get to the best school. You got to be on the best team. You got to be the best player on the team. That encourages sometimes, you know, the push for me rather than the push for community. So these are tough issues. There's no simple solutions. And, you know, if your kid is a bully, I mean, and you get word from it from a school, if you have the wherewithal to be surprised by that and you're not just denying it, which a lot of parents who encourage bullying behavior do, then you want to work with the school and really find out what's going on and work with your child and a plan, develop a plan with the school on how to help them. So to try to reduce aggression, try to help them learn how to care about others, reduce their exposure to social media if they're not doing it the right way, and encourage, let them know that that kind of behavior won't be tolerated.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, so reading some of the posts as we were talking about earlier with the Amanda Todd situation, where she put this video up on YouTube and yep, and her Facebook page, and how other kids were actually giving her tips on how to, because she failed at one suicide attempt, so then she, you know, she, I guess, posted that she had tried to kill herself, and then all these other kids are jumping in and saying, well, why don't you drink more bleach, and so on and so forth. One of the things that I've always said, and I've done shows on it, is you have got to check your kids' Facebook pages.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily, obviously you want to make sure that they're not being bullied, but also because you, as a parent, also need to know what the hell your kid's doing. Because if I saw my kid, and on his Facebook page, he was trying to convince somebody to go commit suicide, I would go off the wall nuts. And I just sometimes I wonder if other parents actually are falling short on that aspect of parenting.
Look, you know, I'm with you. I am a big believer and a proponent of, if you're giving your kids technology, you as a parent better know, first of all, the technology too, and you better be on top of what your kids are doing, especially when they first get it at young ages.
Right.
And I would never have let my kid on Facebook without being their friend, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Or joining them. Or working with, especially young kids, privacy settings on Facebook, for example, when they first get on Facebook. But it's about a partnership. How is this any different than teaching your kids values in life anyway? Technology is just an extension of their life. The way they behave online is an extension of how they behave in their real life, in their regular life. We have to be parents, and we have to kind of be on top of them until we see that we don't have to worry about them that way. As they prove to us that they kind of move forward in a way that we can trust them,
yeah,
then we back off. That's what we call latitude, right?
Yep.
But why would we do that with not do that in technology?
Right.
Where they have a free rein, it makes no sense to me as a parent myself.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here talking, and you just hit it right on the head. I'm sitting here talking about, you know, technology and you know, isn't Facebook somehow sharing responsibility? At the end of the day, it comes back down to the technology is only going to get better. It comes down to we as parents making sure that our kids aren't the a-holes of the school.
That's right, and that we don't push that agenda on them because we want them to either do more than we did, be better than we are. We're not living out our dreams through them, you know, like the successes we didn't have through our kids, and encourage that behavior. But many times parents don't necessarily see that in the way they need to. And we have to be a role model that values, you know, and look, it's just really a values of your family, you know. You know, if you want kids who are going to be caring, respectful kind of kids, you have to role model that.
Yeah.
And teach those values offline and online.
Dr. Joel Haber, the website is Respect You, the letter U, respectyou.com, and he's called the Bullying Coach, and I appreciate the insight. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
News Radio 850 KOA, or you can go to facebook.com/850KOA. You can see the video we've been talking about with Amanda Todd, the 15-year-old from Canada who killed herself basically after 3 years of being tormented by an individual. And turns out the group Anonymous found this guy real quickly. The Amanda Todd got into a situation with this guy online. He convinced her to show him her breasts, and he snapped the picture. And for the next 3 years, he tormented this poor girl until she committed suicide just a few weeks ago. You can see a video that she put up, which has now gone viral. It is an incredible story, an incredibly sad story about how one mistake can send a girl's life into absolute disarray. And the more jarring thing about this story is the incredible amount of bullying that 15-year-old Amanda Todd had to endure after this scumbag, who turned out to be some 32-year-old guy from British Columbia, that he ended up sending the picture of Amanda Todd, if you will, to all of her friends. And it's just a terrible story. And it sent Amanda Todd's life into a living hell until she, again, ended up killing herself. We spent this hour talking about teen bullying, if you will, with Dr. Joel Haber. You can find him at the website, Respect You, the letter U, respectyou.com. And the interview that I played was probably about half of the conversation. I couldn't fit it all in here in just the 1 hour that I have. But if you want to go find that, the entire interview will be up here in about probably 20, 25 minutes there at 850KOA.com. You just go to the website, go to the podcast, weekends, and you'll see it down below. It's interesting, though, this group Anonymous, because you know Anonymous because they've done all kinds of stuff from hacking into banks and so on and so forth. Finally, the group Anonymous does something good. They find this scumbag, again, a 32-year-old from British Columbia, and basically this guy now, I'm not one to advocate violence, but this guy is actually getting death threats and for what he did, and it's just a fascinating story, and if you want to find out more about the story, you can find it at 850KOA.com. We have CU Buffs football next. They're taking on USC. My name is Dan Mantis. Appreciate you listening to News Radio 850 KOA.